going to be interesting to me. My trick is, are they going to be interesting to you? Because there's a lot of history. Finding moral lessons from Joshua, we'll have to pull. This is a pretty violent book. What I want to do today is give you a scan of the period and where this fits. And then next Sunday we'll have a lesson on part of it. There's a total of 5 lessons counting today. So today is primarily an introduction. And I need to remind you of the Deuteronomic historian. That's close. There's a bump on the wall right there, and I have a hard time. Let me just quickly go through this. This is a scan of Old Testament history. There's a period that I like to call prehistory. That's creation stories, the Noah stories, the Tower of Babel stories. Very hard to locate and identify exactly what where these stories blossomed up from. But when we get to Abraham, I think it's about chapter 12, now we've got names of people, locations, genealogies. We can pin it down a lot more. And you remember the Abraham stories of the first son Isaac was born, and Isaac had 2 sons, Esau and Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Israel. In round numbers, think of this somewhere around 2000 BC. There's no way to date it exactly, but let's think of the patriarchs in this period of time. Then, because of famine, we've got Jacob. Jacob becomes renamed Israel. And Joseph is one of those 12 sons, and he ends up in Egypt, and the rest of the tribe comes along because of famines. They're in slavery in Egypt for a point of time until Moses comes along, and with God's encouragement, he leads them out of slavery in Egypt. And there's this indefinite period. They say 40 years, but that just means a complete period of time. And they are out in the desert, they roam around, and they're stuck there just on the outskirts of what we would call Canaan, and Moses dies. And his first lieutenant, Joshua, takes over. And the Joshua stories are of the conquest of the Promised Land. He leads them out of the wilderness into the Canaan land, and there's tremendous wars, battles, and so on. Following that, and again, this is very hard to know. Let's call this about 28 years that this story takes place. Then there's the settlement of the land and the dividing up of the territory. And then there's the monarchies, Saul, David, Solomon. And then the division of the monarchies, where the northern tribes of Israel disappear. They're taken over by the Assyrian. We don't know what happened to them. I said Jacob, that's Judah. I must have been eating at that time. And the southern kingdom, Judah, survives for a long time. Till finally in 587 BC, they're taken into exile. So that's one span of history that runs from 2000 to, let's call it 587 BC. People here in Judah, in exile or early return, says, why did this happen? What did we do wrong? There must be, we're God's chosen people. Either God screwed up or we screwed up. I bet it's us. So they start asking themselves, why did this all happen? Why did we have exile? Books in the Bible that record these events, Genesis covers this period of time. Egypt and Moses, we get the Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the law period that records this part of time. The conquest is recorded in Joshua, the book of Joshua. The settlement is recorded in the book of Judges. The monarchies are 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. Most scholars now say, an historian in this period of time reflected back, collected stories, and wrote or edited Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, 1 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. And that's called the Deuteronomic history. It's history from a point of view, and I'm repeating things that we've had in here before. In terms of the Bible and how it's grouped, this is essentially what they call the Pentateuch. And from Joshua to here, those are history books. History from a point of view. Now, in the Jewish Pentateuch, it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But most people think that Deuteronomy wasn't written till out here. And all of this was to answer this question. Why did this happen? So when you read Joshua, you see a man devoted to following exactly what God tells him to do. And it's all good. There's a guy I know.
Hello, everybody.
Hey,
Carl.
Hey.
Good to see you.
Morning, everybody.
We should know how much food Carl will show us.
Yeah, you know food?
Yeah.
So, what we've got is a historian who's writing or recording or editing history that is trying to answer this question. Why did God let this happen? What we find in the early part of this is people doing exactly what God said to do. Moses did exactly what God said to do. Joshua did exactly what God said to do. The judges did exactly what God said to do. And things were going along pretty good. But when we get into this period, all of the kings are measured by, did they keep the law or not keep the law? And we get to the general conclusion that this happened because these guys did not do all that they should do.
Is it heretical to think that they did what they thought God told them to do?
No, I think that's a pretty good solution.
Okay.
Bob?
Yeah, either I forgot or more honestly probably never knew. What on the modern day map does Canaan consist of?
Canaan is essentially Palestine. It's the, okay. It's the land between the Mediterranean. I should have had the map up here. Between the Mediterranean and the Jordan River. Although two of the tribes were on the east side of the Jordan River.
That's what I was going to get at. They came down around south. They came up on the east side of the
river. That's right. And I should have said that. Thanks, Bob. They're coming out of the desert and go over to the other side of the Dead Sea and up. I don't know if this makes sense or not, but here's the Mediterranean.
So I got a question. Are they essentially an offshoot of Judah? The way he's explaining it is like, seems like they just came out of nowhere. Like they might have got, they might have broke away from the 40-year group, or somewhere between the 40-year group and the monarchies. There was maybe a split of people that went in a different direction that's not recorded.
I don't know the answer to that. There is a theory that
okay.
there were people in what we call the Promised Land who never left there.
Right.
And so when Moses brings the people out and around the Dead Sea and across the river, some of the people over there might have already been
Hebrew. Yeah, what I'm saying.
Hebrew.
Yeah.
Tim.
Wait, there's a key phrase in Exodus that we often read right over.
Yeah.
And it says that when Moses led the people out of Israel, he led, here's the key phrase, a mixed multitude.
Okay.
Don't think that everybody who came out of Egypt were all descendants of Jacob.
Yeah.
He led a mixed multitude out.
Yeah.
And in Sinai, they were constituted as the people of Israel.
Yeah.
So there's this time frame where this mixed multitude has to coalesce.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that happens in that period of 40 years.
Yeah, that's a good point, Tim. Actually, during this settlement time is where they really started coalescing around a tribe that could identify. The way I was taught, the judges is it's an amphictyony. It's a collaborative effort of loose groups of people who came together for a cause of a fight, whatever it was, and they sort of coalesced into a people that we could call the Hebrew people. But they're pretty distinctive. They fight among each other. They come together when there's a common enemy. Heroes created Samson and lots of judges that you would know the name of. But who Joshua led in there and how many? Who knows? I don't. So I say all this to say that when we read, here's what we're going to study in this series. When we study Joshua, we're really reading the transition from the wilderness people coming out of the desert around there into this area. That's the Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, Dead Sea, into this area here. And he, you know, God's given you this promised land. Go in, there's milk and honey and all that. Oh, by the way, there's a lot of people there that you need to kill to get out.
Yeah.
So Joshua is a military leader listening to what God, he thinks, using Fred Point, that he thinks God tells him to do in terms of conquering this land.
Moses wrote in Moses' Ten Commandments that he received, said, "Thou shalt not kill." Maybe that's why they let him die before they went in.
there's a whole story about who made it into it. And supposedly all the people who were in the wilderness died out, but then he did come in with 40 or 80,000 people, so it's hard to say. But the point of all of this is the slice we're going to be studying. We're going to listen to Joshua lead the people through this violent conquest, and essentially he comes across, gets Jericho, he turns south, conquers a bunch of people here, then he turns north, conquers a bunch of people there. And if you read the book carefully, the first impression you get is he won every fight, won every battle, no problem. But then they'll later, you'll run across people that were there and he didn't fight them, he left them alone.
Yep.
So it's very hard. So the conquest of the new promised land is what Joshua is all about.
So again, as you said at the beginning, this is from the perspective of the Deuteronomy historian. So he's gone back and he's painted a really good picture of Mr. Joshua here.
Yeah.
That everything went well. He did exactly what God, told him to do. No left and right, no distractions. So we get a good picture. Now, we're not going here, but just to remind me, when Chronicles rolls along, he backs up into that king's period too that you talked about as well, but he's coming from a different perspective, which we're not talking about today.
Right.
But he talks about the same.
There's
events.
Some overlap between Chronicles and Kings.
Right. And he's got a different perspective, and he's got a different agenda than this particular person has.
Chronicles is basically written from the priestly tradition, and Joshua is more of the military.
Yeah, he doesn't go back that far. I just remember you've talked about more than once about different approaches to the history. Yeah. I think when we talked about David, that kind of came up.
I'm not going to read this, but if you look at 2 Kings 25:21, sets up apply the Deuteronomic history to the story and did what he did. I'll just read the Babylon comes in, and in verse 21, the king of Babylon struck them down and put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah went into exile out of its land. That's the key thing. That's the trigger that started the exile. They feel like they've been deserted by God. They're taken away by these Babylonians. They're not really that badly treated when they get there. That's another story. Joshua is in a difficult position. They've been wandering around in the desert for years. God's fed them some, but it's not an easy life. Moses was a legendary leader. You know, he could hit rocks and get water. He was elevated to a very high position. Things looked bleak. The march had gotten stalled. The people were getting anxious and grumbled. And Moses dies. And Joshua steps up. One book I like that wrote it this way. It's like Tonto taking over for the Lone Ranger. It's like Marty Five taking over for Who is this guy? So when you start reading the book of Joshua, first of all, the writer's got to bring him up. This guy is great. I'm going to work through him. You need to listen to this guy. And Joshua has a lot of courage. He's driven to make this happen. So he's sort of the right-hand man of Moses. He's not the writer of this book. There's no narrative at all in here that would indicate Joshua had anything to do with recording this. But he is the dominant figure of the events that happen in the book of Joshua. The book is really written in about three parts. The first 12 chapters are essentially the military campaign that I described. We'll go in, we'll go down, we'll go up, and conquer all these people and kill all their cows and babies and everything. Gosh, bad. The second is the division of the land, and once you get to chapter 13 in Joshua, it is boring. These are dividing the territory among the tribes, right. What will eventually become the tribes. We gave so-and-so this much land from here to here. We gave this guy so much land from here to here. Setting it up for the book of Judges in a little while. The last two chapters really are stories about being loyal to God. And there's some meat there. There's some value in what we'll get to. The book is violent. Brutality is offensive to our New Testament sensibilities. Yet the writer explains that this is the way God worked in order for the land to be taken that God had promised. Joshua's big strength is his courage, his obedience, and that's the core of the book. Joshua did what he needed to do and did it to the letter, and he was successful. There's a lot of theology that says if you live faithfully to God, life's going to be a breeze. It's easy. You're going to have money. And this book teaches us that's not true. Faithful living puts you in right with God, but it does not. In fact, it may make your life harder rather than easier. You just don't go along with things. You say no to some things, and you get angry about some things. So faithful living does not equate to easy life. He has courage, he has obedience, and that's the core of the book. I gave Carl a reading, but I'm already past my time. Read, if you haven't already, Joshua 1 through verse 1 through 9. And it's essentially a record of building up Joshua and showing how attentive he is to what God commands. There is no Holy Spirit here. God is talking, as the book records it, God is talking directly to Joshua. There's no spirit. And I think maybe that one of the most important things about this is the Bible is a very progressive revelation of understanding the true nature of God. When we read these next four lessons about the violence and the killing and the thing, don't forget that you go further towards the end of the book and you get Jesus talking about loving your enemy, walking the extra mile, and it's that contrast. The Bible tells the whole story. At times you would just say, well, let's just rip Joshua out. That's too bloody. But the Bible is an accurate picture of the progression of people's understanding of the nature of God. So we got to have the Joshua stories compared to what Jesus say and say, okay, I understand that happened, but that's not really what God wants. We need to get, Jesus is the best model we have of what God is intending. Quick summary. No one of us is indispensable for God to make his plans come forth. Moses dies, but the plan, the promise to Abraham, it continues. When we lose a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, that's okay. God's plan is still there. When a key person who's influenced your life is gone, God will continue to love you and need you to fulfill the call he has designed for you. God is faithful. From the promise to Abraham all the way through this, God is saying, you're my people. I'm going to love you. You may misunderstand me at times, but I'm never going to leave you. I will not forget you. When we've been overmatched by life and overwhelmed, this text of these first nine verses is very good to read. It encourages to know of God's attention and detail for each one of us. Joshua is confident, courageous, and diligent. Don't you think God expects that same thing from us? Okay, time for short questions. Anything that jumps out at you that you want to mention?
Why is this, now that we're in the Advent, we're Advent Christians, why is this prehistoric information important to us?
I think because they're trying to show the contrast of what the normal human nature is compared to what Christ expects of us. If we just had the New Testament alone, you'd assume that everybody was like that all the time. But when we get into these Old Testament stories, they're telling us what our basic human nature is like. Inside of us, we want power, we want influence, we want to fight for what we think we deserve. And it's that contrast between the base of human nature and what Christ is expecting us to be. That's the best answer I can come up with.
Is that like turning the other cheek, so to speak?
Well, that's where it goes. I mean, just look at the whole Bible and start with some of this hard stuff and realize that God is continually refining people. We're hearing more of what he really wants us. And it's like Fred's point a minute ago. Did God really say go into Jericho and kill all the babies? Or did they think he said go into Jericho and kill all these babies? I don't know. But it's the contrast, it's the flow that I think we need to understand. Anything else? Carl, thank you for coming. And I don't know you, but I bet I like you. Hey, you're just here for a short time, Carl?
Yeah. No, I have to say something. See, I'd like to thank everyone for the cards, the prayers they gave me this month. We lost my brother, and I really appreciate that. I mean, I'm really lifting me up on that. time, but I miss you guys, so that's why I came. This is my wife, May.
I've seen May on Facebook. Carl, what are your plans?
I'm planning to stay at home. Just trying to get this leg of mine right. It's still not healing good. So
okay.
I have a problem with it, and I can't do nothing until they do a bone scan. Because they might be my bones, so I got to wait until October. So
you're going to be here for?
No, I'm here for the day, and I'm going back to Waysburg.
Okay.
Get home. I'll be coming back to visit. Yeah,
well,
to
you're
visit.
Welcome anytime.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Okay, let's stand for prayer. Father, help us today to understand the meaning of this story and see that man searches for reasons of why things happen to us. We need to hear that you love us and that you'll go beside us. Even when we make stupid mistakes, you're there for us, loving us and encouraging us to go forward. We thank you for examples like Joshua who are devoted to following your words. And we ask your blessing on all those who try to follow you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Take a deep breath, please.
About 30 minutes worth.
Yeah. I wrote a note, I just said, short lesson, introduction to Joshua because of a class social for about half of the class. So that...